few people already. Are you ready? Yes. Why did you come here this morning? Yep, okay, I've heard some answers. Say it out really loud so everyone can hear you. To praise the Lord. Thank you, Keith. To listen to the word. Any other answers? To a God encounter. I like that. Any other responses? Why did you come here this morning? To strengthen our church. Oh, I like that. Okay. Yep. Thank you. To expect something. Great. Okay. This morning we're going to be talking about why we come here. And this morning the title of my message is called Encounter. Encounter. That's sort of been a key word, I think, for the last few weeks. So encounter, why did you come here this morning? We come here. You know, in our news bulletin, it says, House of God, Gateway to Heaven. We say this almost every week. When Pastor Joseph declares resurrection life, he says, House of God, Gateway to Heaven. And it almost becomes a phrase that we just throw around. But it doesn't mean anything anymore, maybe, for some of us. I'll speak to myself. So encounter, House of God, Gateway to Heaven. We're going to be exploring this morning what that really means and what encounter we can have when we come before God. Amen? Encounter. Okay. So this morning we're going to be looking at, I think, about four or five ordinary individuals, human beings, people like you and me, very flawed in some ways, who experienced an encounter with God. Four or five people who had an encounter with God, and that encounter with God changed everything for them. They experienced breakthrough. They experienced healing. They all of a sudden received a revelation of their destiny and what God actually had in mind for them. And through that encounter, they were able to break forth or break through into something that was new and something that was fresh. All right? So we're going to be looking at these four or five individuals, and we're going to, hopefully this morning, as we look at these individuals, you can relate to any one of those people. I am like that person. I am an ordinary person. I am flawed, a flawed human being. I have shortcomings. I'm still in the process. God is still working on me. Or maybe you're going through something right now where you need a breakthrough this morning. Maybe you are going through some challenges. Maybe, I don't know what it is that each and every one of us are going through this morning, but this is the point of breakthrough. This is the point of encounter, where we come to God, the house of God, the gateway to heaven. And as we're going to read later in Genesis 35, it is the place where God speaks. Amen? Okay. So I don't usually do this, but I'm going to do a few different things this morning. So the first one is an acronym. Like, I'm going to do like a little bit. I don't usually do this, but here we go. Encounter. Okay, so to help us remember what encounter means or what it could mean to us, I'm going to just flash it all up. Okay, so this is my version of encounter. It's a little bit wordy because encounter is a really long word. It's a big word. Okay, can we all read this together out loud? Let's go. 1, 2, 3. Experience God in a new and fresh way. Come, there is an open heaven. You will never be the same. Touch God. Enter in and receive a revelation. I sort of cheated there with a U. All right, let's try one more time. Let's say it again, one more time all together. 1, 2, 3. Experience God in a new and fresh way. Come, there is an open heaven. You will never be the same. Touch God, enter in, and receive a revelation. Amen. So that's what encounter means to me. It means all of those things. So we're going to break it down, and we're going to talk about a few of these at a time. So the first one we're going to talk about is experiencing God in a new and a fresh way. Turn with me to John chapter 4. So I might get Lynette to help flash up the scripture for us. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, and we're going to look at a couple of scriptures, but let's just start with verse 1. Okay. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, it carries on, but I'm just going to stay in this first verse. If you were here at intercessory prayer, and if you've been listening to the messages, we've been sharing about this one verse, because in this one verse shows us four distinct moves. Does anybody know what moves they are, if you remember? I like my sessions to be quite interactive. So four moves. Yes. Sovereign move. And where's sovereign move? Sovereign is the Lord. The Lord. A sovereign move. Okay. Another move. So there's four. That's one down. Three to go. Old move. Thank you. And where's old? Is it? John. Okay, so John the Baptist. So John the Baptist was going on baptizing people, but Jesus had come. He was preparing the way for Jesus. So at John's time, it was current. But now that Jesus had come, I'm giving away the answer now. It's now, John's move is now the old move. So what's Jesus represents? The new move or the present move. What's happening right now, currently right now. So Jesus is the present move. So what's the other move? So we've got three down, one to go. Dead move. Thank you. And where's dead move? The Pharisees. Very good. Okay. So we have a sovereign move. The dead move. Thank you. We have a new move, present move, and we have the old move. All right? So there's four moves happening in John chapter 4. Now, John chapter 4 talks about a Samaritan woman who encounters Jesus. And she has all sorts of things going on in her life. Lots of issues, problems, nothing that we can't relate to. Relationship problems, relationship failures, and all the hurt and baggage, humiliation associated with all of those failed relationships. Right? But she encounters Jesus, and Jesus is a little bit odd, right? Because he's asking her a very odd request. Can you give me a drink of water? So she starts saying, well, let's turn to verse 11. So the woman said to him, sir, you got nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, verse 12, who gave us the well and drank from it himself as well as his sons and his livestock? So she replies to Jesus and she says, our father Jacob, our ancestors have dug us this well and they drank from it and they were sustained. And through the generations, we have always come to this well to drink. Can you see what she's saying? She's relying on what has been done in past generations and trying to be sustained by what is essentially something that is old. An old move and a dead move that she is finding herself right now stuck in. But she encounters Jesus, and Jesus is trying to say, I'm here right now. I'm going to give you something that is fresh, that is new. The water that I'm going to give you is living water. So in this conversation and in this exchange, this woman encounters something that is fresh. And she has a decision to make at this point. She has a decision whether she relies on what she is familiar with, what is comfortable for her, what has been done in the past, what previous generations have relied on. She has a decision to make whether she's going to stay there or move forward and into something that is new, unfamiliar. She doesn't even know who Jesus is. From a bar of soap. She just met him, right? But he is offering her something that is new and that is fresh, and she has a decision to make as to whether I'm going to accept that, am I going to move into that, am I going to leave behind the past and the old. Am I going to leave behind all of these things and move into something that I'm not really sure about? But as we see later, we know that she made a decision and she understood because she had a revelation of who Jesus is. That encounter changed her life completely. And we see later on in verse 28. The woman left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the man, "Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" And they went out of the city and came to him, that is Jesus. So we see that her life was completely transformed, and she became a catalyst and a change agent in her city, sharing the good news and sharing the encounter and the experience that she had with other people so that they too could come and have an encounter personally and individually with Jesus. So this morning, we're talking about a woman who has, despite all of her failures and emotional issues, was able to experience a breakthrough and receive a new identity and receive, in a way, a destiny that she would have never imagined for herself. If you had said to her at that point, "You are going to be a preacher of the gospel, you are going to lead many souls to Jesus," she would have been like, "What are you talking about?" But yet, through that exchange and through that encounter and through that experience with Jesus, she received a destiny. It was a turning point in her life. And we see that she was that catalyst for change and for revival in her city. Amen? So God can take any one of us, change us, and use us. Amen? Amen. But it all starts with a decision point when we choose to walk into what is new and fresh and leave behind the old and leave behind the past. Amen? All right. Okay. Next one. Come, there is an open heaven. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 28. I'm not reading any scriptures here that are incredibly unfamiliar. Most of them are very familiar. I'm just going to weave it in a way that hopefully just... I'm just circling around this one point, this one word, which is encounter. So Genesis chapter 28. And we're going to read from verse 11. Genesis chapter 28, verse 11. We're talking about Jacob now. House of God, gateway to heaven. And this is the account. So he, this is Jacob, came to a certain place and he stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head and he lay down in that place to sleep. I'm so glad I don't have stones as my pillow. But this is Jacob. And verse 12, then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached all the way to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, "I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your descendants." Verse 14, "And your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south, and in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you." Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head And he set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of the city had been Luz, or Luz previously. So we read about this this encounter that Jacob had. Who was Jacob? What was he like? He was a deceiver. All right. What does his name mean? Supplanter. Thank you very much, Uncle Hawk. So he... That's great. That's a good job. So he was a supplanter, a deceiver. That is his name. Can you imagine going around saying, "Hi, my name is Supplanter. I am a deceiver." It's a reputation that followed him around. And early in earlier chapters, we read how Jacob struggled in the night, right, with a man who was, you know, ended up being the Lord. He struggled, right, because he wanted to change this. I don't want people to know me as a supplanter. I don't want people to know me as a deceiver. What an awful reputation to go around carrying. I have things that I'm ashamed of, but I don't want to be known by that. So Jacob has this encounter with God, and the Lord reveals himself to Jacob as the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and now you. What is God saying to Jacob? What do you think God is saying to Jacob? I am the God of Abraham and Isaac. What is he saying there? This bit's interactive too. Yes. Just as I have been faithful, just as I have been the God of your fathers, just as I have made a covenant with Abraham, your fathers, I am going to be your God too, and I am going to keep my covenant to them and with you. Because the next few verses, right, is basically a reiteration of the covenant that he made with Abraham. So the Lord reveals himself personally now to Jacob so that Jacob doesn't have to rely on the faith of his fathers, but now knows God for himself. I know that my parents knew God, and you know, my grandparents and my parents, but you know, God, you seem a little bit far away. You're not as personal to me. And now God comes to deal with that. I am not only the God of Abraham and Isaac, I am your God. And this is the promise, this is the covenant that I am going to make to you, with you and to you. And he makes the most incredible promise in verse 15. I will not leave you until I have done all these things that I have spoken to you. That was the personal promise. Everything else was what he had said to Abraham and Isaac. But this one was personal. For you, I will not leave you until I have done everything that I have spoken to you. This is like a guarantee that God is giving to Jacob. In Australian terms, this is fair dinkum. You can trust me. Fair dinkum, you can trust me. This is my promise. This is my guarantee to you. So then Jacob awakes from this amazing dream where God, the Lord, reveals himself to Jacob in a very personal way. And you know what Jacob says? Jacob says, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." The Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it. How many times have we come to church, or we've come to meetings, and the Lord is actually there, but we don't know it because we're either too distracted, too busy thinking about what we're going to, okay, so today, right, maybe what we're going to cook for dinner, what we're going to eat, what we're going to do, what we're, you know, planning for the next few days. Or maybe we're too consumed in our own problems, our issues, trying to work it out. Maybe we're distracted with other things, right? The Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Let that not be anything that any one of us would say. The Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. How could Jacob miss that? But yet, we're like Jacob sometimes. We miss the Lord, because we're so busy, distracted, consumed. I'm preaching to myself. We become complacent, just going through the motions. This is just another meeting, another this, another service. And we can miss the Lord, right? But Jacob had this encounter. The Lord is in this place. How awesome is this place? And that's where we have Bethel, the house of God, the gateway to heaven. So this is the house of God, the gateway, the entrance, the doorway, the portal, if you will, where God reveals himself to us. So Jacob has an encounter. He has a revelation of who God is. And he experiences God in a very personal way, despite his deceiving ways, despite all of his character flaws, if you will. God wants to have an encounter with us and experience and reveal himself to us in a very personal, very, very personal way. All right, next one. So, experience God in a new and a fresh way. Come, there is an open heaven. So Jacob experienced that open heaven where that dream, and he saw that open heaven, and he saw the angels of God ascending and descending on the ladder. Next one. You will never be the same. Touch God. Let's turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And we're going to read about a woman. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Mark chapter 5. What did I say? Mark chapter 5, I'm going to read from verse 25 onwards. Now there was a certain woman had a flow of blood. In some other accounts of the gospel, it says an issue of blood. We don't have really any more details than that, other than it was a problem with blood that kept on flowing, and she couldn't stop it, right? A flow of blood for 12 years, verse 26, and she had suffered many things from many physicians. So she has this issue, this health problem. It's a little bit embarrassing. Can you just imagine trying to hide that as you going out to a friend's place, going out to the supermarket, buying groceries? She has this health problem. So she has gone doctor to doctor to doctor to doctor, specialist referred to another specialist, all the best doctors that you can think of, the best physicians in the land. She's gone to see them, and they've tried to help her. They might have prescribed new and innovative medical technologies to her, and each one of those things have failed. So can you just imagine, each time you go to a doctor, they give you something, you get your hopes up, it's going to work, and then it doesn't. In fact, it gets worse. And then she goes to another one thinking that the next one is going to be better, and then that fails. So she's at this point now. She's had this issue for about 12 years, and nothing has worked. After a while, Proverbs says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. After a while, you kind of give up hope. You lose hope. What's the point of going to see another doctor? How are they going to be better than all these other ones that I've seen? Everybody has promised all these great, wonderful things, but yet I still have this problem. So can you see, this is the woman with the issue of blood, and this is what she's going through. So she had spent all that she had, all of her life savings, all of her money on these doctors for this health problem that she has. And she was no better, but rather she actually grew worse. So things are looking pretty dim for her, right? The next verse. But when she heard about Jesus, maybe Jesus will be different from all the other doctors that I've ever seen. Maybe if I just touch him, I know that I will be healed. Because of everything that I have seen and everything that I have heard, all these other people who have been touched by Jesus have been healed in some way. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame are walking. I just need to get in to see him, because if I touch him, I know that just like all those other people, I can be healed too. she had this belief in her that drove her to squirm in the crowd, push past all the people, and touch his garment. And I think in some other accounts it says touch the hem. So I'm just going to sneak in there under the radar. No one's going to notice. I'm just going to touch the hem. The hem is like the very bottom, right? I'm just going to touch the bottom. No one, he won't know. I just touch. And as soon as I touch, I know that I'll be healed. Can you just imagine that faith? Despite everything that is going on in her life, if I just touch him, I know that I'll be healed. Next verse. Yeah, so she said, "For if I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body. She felt it. It was a tangible experience that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing himself that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you and you say, 'Who touched me?'" Come on, Jesus. And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. "I did it because I knew that if I touched you, I would be healed." And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Amen. Amen. So this woman came believing. So that's the kind of the same attitude we need to have when we come into God's presence, knowing that if I just touch God, if I reach out and I touch God, everything will change. The breakthrough that I'm looking for, the solution to my problem, the answer, the prayers that I've been praying, the answer to all the prayers that I've been praying is going to come to me. And all of a sudden, or maybe the emotional hurt and baggage and wounds that I'm carrying, Jesus can touch me and can heal me. And I know my life will never be the same. She had this firm belief. And so when we come into God's presence, when we want an encounter with him, we must also come with the same attitude of knowing that God will change everything in my life and I will never be the same as long as I encounter him and as long as I touch him. I'm going to reach out for myself. No one else can do it for me. I'm going to reach out and touch God for myself. Amen? All right. Last one. Enter in. Help me out. Thanks. Enter in and receive a revelation. Amen. All right, turn with me to Luke, just the next book, and we're going to talk about two fellas. Luke chapter 24, and we're going to talk about two fellas who also had an encounter with Jesus. Again, a very familiar passage of scripture. So the backdrop. Jesus has died. He's been laid in a tomb. And all of a sudden, he is risen again. The ladies have gone to the tomb. And they have an encounter at that point because they see an angel. And he says, "He's not here. He's risen." Whoa. That was not what they were expecting that morning. All right. So they have that encounter. They know that Jesus is risen. They go back and they tell the disciples, newsflash, Jesus is risen. And then the disciples are like, "Women, crazy. They're just making up stories." But Peter runs to the tomb and he sees for himself that everything actually that the women said were actually true, minus the fact that he still has not seen Jesus yet. But he sees the evidence that Jesus is not there. So at the very least, he can confirm and verify and validate that at least half of what the women have said is true. So we're at this point now, okay? Now, verse 13. "Now behold, two of the people who were the disciples were traveling that same day," the same day that all of these things happened, the same day, to a village called, I'm just going to say Emmaus. I'm not really sure how it's pronounced. Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. Next verse. And they talked together of all these things which have happened. So you can just imagine, all these things happened earlier in the day, and they're just having a chat about it and talking about how ridiculous the women are, how mind-blowing this is, and that might even be speculating about the events. Where did Jesus go? Who took his body? Why was the guards not there? How could the stone be rolled away? You know, all these questions that are in their mind, because at this moment, all they have are facts. They don't have the truth just yet. So they have the facts, that they're dealing with the facts, and they're talking about this. They're processing all of these things, right? Because remember, at this point, they're still thinking that Jesus was meant to come to redeem them and save them and free them from Roman oppression. They haven't yet understood that Jesus is actually here to save the world from sin and to redeem the church, right? So they don't know that yet. So they're processing all of these things and they're talking with one another. Verse 15, so it was while they conversed, while they talked and while they reasoned, while they gave, you know, their rationale for their conspiracy theories or whatever it is on why Jesus wasn't there, that Jesus himself drew near and he went with them. So most miraculous thing, speaking of, Jesus was right there as they were talking about him. Now, next verse. This is key. But their eyes were restrained. Their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. They couldn't recognize him. Surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. I didn't recognize God when he was here. I didn't know that he was right next to me talking to me. I didn't know. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk? And why are you sad? Then one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Hey man, have you not read Facebook? Have you not caught up with the news? Like, don't you know? Are you the only person in the entire Jerusalem that doesn't know these things that happened in these last few days? It's been the talk of the town. Everybody knows this. Where have you been, man? Verse 20. That's just my interpretation. Next verse. And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, not knowing that it was Jesus, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and the word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he was going to redeem Israel. And indeed, besides all of this, today is the third day since these things happened. So obviously, he's not going to be able to redeem Israel as we thought he would. So at this point in time, their eyes are still not open. They're restrained. And they cannot see that it's actually Jesus who was talking with them. We're going to fast forward now to verse 25. And he said to them, this is Jesus talking to those two guys now, oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets, in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into glory? Verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Jesus personally expounded to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So in this encounter that these two fellas have, Jesus personally expounds. It's like having a Bible study with Jesus himself. Like Jesus is the Bible study teacher, and he's talking about himself. Wouldn't you like to be in a Bible study where Jesus talks about himself? He won't ever be in error or heresy. Everything would be accurate and correct. So they had a personal Bible study from Jesus himself. Now, verse 28, then they drew near to the village where they were going, and Jesus indicated that he would have gone farther. But the two guys constrained him, saying, abide with us, stay with us, for it is toward the evening, and the day is far spent. It's getting pretty late, Jesus. If you keep going, you're going to be walking in the night, and it's going to be dark. So Jesus turned in, and he went in to stay with them. Verse 30, now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them, he took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to them. Verse 31, then, at that point when he was breaking bread and he blessed it and he gave it to them, he broke it and he gave it to them, then their eyes were opened and they knew him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? Next. So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were gathered together with them. And he, next one. Yep, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. The women aren't crazy after all. It's true. We've seen him. We can verify that not only did we see his clothes lying on there and that he's disappeared, but we saw him personally. We experienced it. He talked with us. The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. At that moment, Jesus was revealed to them in the breaking of bread. That's why when we have communion, we ask for a new revelation of who Jesus is. When we come to the table of the Lord, that's a moment where we can have, where he can, an additional moment we can reveal himself to us. All right. He was known to them in the breaking of bread. Okay, let's carry on. Verse 36. Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. Verse 37. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see me, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Personal revelation showing himself. And while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? So they gave him a piece of fish and some honeycomb. And he took it and he ate it in their presence to demonstrate to them that he's not a ghost. And then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all these things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. So in this revelation, he reveals, in this experience and in this encounter, he reveals his purpose. And he undoes, he has to rejig their minds and restructure what they're thinking, right? Because remember, in their minds, Jesus is meant to save them from oppression. So he has to spend this time now undoing that in their minds and saying, no, that's wrong. This is what it is. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. So this personal Bible study opens their understanding of who Jesus is and why he came. Right? When we come to Jesus, when we come to hear from him, sometimes we have to let go of the things that we think. We have to let go some of the things that we don't actually know, but are actually strongholds in our minds and actually mindsets that we have. Maybe wrong thoughts, wrong expectations, just wrong. It's just plain wrong. And God has to undo that stuff in our minds, undo the mindsets, undo the things that we think are actually right but are actually wrong. And he needs to restructure our minds and open our understanding so that we can actually understand what he is saying. Amen? All right. So that day was a monumental day for the disciples. First, their eyes were restrained, but then their eyes were opened. And once their eyes were opened, then their understanding was opened. Amen? But in order to do that, we need to allow Jesus to restructure our minds and let go of the mindsets that we have that are actually wrong. That's the only way we're going to be able to receive revelation. Amen? Amen. Okay. So, enter in and receive a revelation. One more time. Can we read just on the left-hand side what encounter stands for me? 1, 2, 3. Experience God in a new and fresh way. come, there is an open heaven. You will never be the same. Touch God, enter in, and receive a revelation. Amen. Last scripture, Genesis 35. So remember, I'm just going back to Jacob now, and I'm going to close with this. So remember, house of God, gateway to heaven. Jacob has this amazing encounter with God. And his life has changed. God has revealed himself to Jacob in a very personal way. And now, you know, so Jacob has gone on with life, right? He's moved on. And then in Genesis chapter 35, verse 1, God says to him, Jacob, go back to Bethel, because I'm going to speak to you there. So Jacob travels back to Bethel. And he says, okay, so yeah, let's read that. Then God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. Make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother. And Jacob said to his household, right, troops, we're going to ship up, shape up, clean up, and get ready to go to Bethel because we're going to meet God. So his whole household had to get ready. So this is almost like us getting ready to meet God. When we come here, when we come for prayer meeting or whatever it is that we come, we need to make preparation to come to the house of God because we are expecting him to speak to us. So his whole household did everything that they needed to do to prepare themselves to come to Bethel, house of God, gateway to heaven. All right, we're going to skip now to, maybe I should turn there. Skip to verse 15. Okay, so then God speaks to Jacob again. And this time when he speaks to Jacob, this isn't the first time he said this, by the way, but this time it was almost like official, right? Jacob, you will no longer be Jacob. You will no longer carry that reputation of supplanter, deceiver, rascal, scoundrel. You are not going to be that anymore. You are going to be Israel. And what essentially happens is God speaks into Jacob a sense of destiny in his life. Your name will be Israel. What does Israel mean? Prince? In our previous chapters, when he was first issued that name, but he didn't carry it, it was, you have struggled with God. You have struggled with God and men, and you've won. So therefore, you're like a prince with God. So I'm rewriting your history. This is the turning point, Jacob. You are no longer Jacob. You are now Israel. Walk in your destiny now. So this is the place where God speaks to him. And so now Jacob says, whoa, not only this is the house of God, gateway to heaven, but now this is the place where God speaks. So Jacob calls this place Bethel, the place where God speaks. Can you think of a time or a moment, a place in your personal history, in your life, where God has clearly spoken to you? And when you have experienced an encounter with God, what was that like? Do you remember? Do you remember what he said to you? Do you remember what promise? I'm not asking you this part. You can share, keep to yourself. So you don't have to all say, oh, I remember. Good. Sometimes in our lives, God will invite us to go back to the place where he first revealed himself to us, when we first spoke to us, so that he can speak to us again, but this time give us a sense of destiny. And that's what some of us need, because sometimes we go around in our life just going through the motions, just going through life without any sense of purpose or destiny. And God wants us to come this morning, house of God, gateway to heaven, the place where he speaks, so that he can speak to us his sense of destiny. No more are we like Jacob, where whatever it is that your past may be like, whatever struggles that you may be going through right now, this is the turning point. This is the turning point where we leave that behind, that old stuff. We make a decision to move into the new, right? Move into something that is fresh, and we move into the destiny that God has actually intended for us from the beginning of time. Amen? Amen. Let's touch God this morning. Amen.